So here's one of the few things I remember from 1979.
The American embassy in Tehran is in the hands of Muslim students tonight. Spurred on by an anti-American speech by the Ayatollah Khomeini, they stormed the embassy, fought the Marine guards for 3 hours, overpowered them, and took dozens of American hostages.
My dad drove me to school every day, and every day on the radio, we got an update on the American hostages in Iran.
A new and daring element was disclosed today in the Iran crisis, which has held world attention for 87 days now.
Here in Iran, at the beginning of another week, students holding 50 hostages at the American embassy still give no sign of allowing an independent appraisal of their condition.
42 years ago today, Iranian militants stormed the American embassy in Tehran. They held 52 American diplomats, military, and State Department workers for 444 days before releasing them.
Members of the Iran Working Group at the State Department could take their first sigh of relief and begin formally informing hostage families that everyone was out and safe.
They came home to a promise from Cyrus Vance, the Secretary of State: don't worry, you will be taken care of. But 42 years later, Washington's pledge to compensate the hostages and their families hasn't yet been fulfilled. Hurdle number one, the deal for their release says they cannot sue for compensation. So Congress tried another route. 6 years ago, it approved $4.4 million for each hostage, which brings us to hurdle number two. That pot of money was recently shared with other victims of terrorism, including those from the 9/11 attacks. So there may not be enough to go around. We are joined now by two former hostages from 1979 to 1981, Kate Kobe and Barry Rosen. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, every November 4th anniversary is surely a hard day for you, but a lot of listeners may not have been around back in 1979. So if I can take you back briefly, Kate, you went to Iran. Your job was to foster community ties between the two countries. Can you first tell us a little bit of the work you did there?
Right. I was the director of an organization called the Iran America Society. We had these binational centers, as we called them, all over the world, where we worked with people from our host country to set up an American kind of library so people could learn about the United States. We also had student advising because a lot of students wanted to go to the United States. And we also sponsored cultural events.
Barry, and if I can go to you, you were a press officer. Tell us a little bit what that was like.
As the press attaché at the U.S. Embassy, I was the spokesperson for the ambassador. I was also the go-to person for American media and also the Iranian Ministry of Information. And we were also running our own press operations in Iran, producing one of the best magazines in Farsi and English in Iran.
And then, of course, the two of you were among the more than 50 hostages. Incredibly traumatizing, difficult. Barry, can you share a memory or two of that?
One is very vivid, and that was Iranians, militants usually held many of us as aces in the hole in certain places around Tehran. I was pirated out of the embassy one night and spent one evening on a very cold floor, tied hand and foot. The next morning, I was brought in to be interrogated, and I was brought to a man in the corner of a room where he and others had darkened the room, sat me down, and stated to me, if I don't admit that I was a spy and plotter for the United States, I'd be shot in the head in 10 minutes. Those are the longest minutes in my life. Obviously, I did sign my guilty agreement with Iran.
Yeah.
And then I fell to pieces after that.
And you have a second one?
Yes, the second one is one of how I somehow dealt with the darkness and the bleakness of captivity. One time I was secreted away from the embassy, some law of physics. In this darkened room, there was a vent, and through this vent, there was a bird on the other side, and that bird was then reflected on the ceiling of that cell. And there I was, lying on my back, looking at this bird day in and day out. He was my lifeline to humanity and to freedom.
Hmm. And Kate, you are one of just two women held hostage. Was it different, somewhat different for you for those 444 days?
Yes, it was quite different. Anne and I were held separately for a long time, and then we were finally allowed to share a room. I never experienced the kind of things that the men experienced, but I had an inkling of it because one time I had asked to go to the bathroom and they blindfolded us whenever we left the room. And I was taken outside and the guard said the bathroom was full. I couldn't go. So my guard, a female, just sat me down. And right next to me was someone, one of the men. I have no idea to this day for sure who it was, but I could tell that this individual was extremely traumatized because of the way the voice shook when he spoke, the body language that I could feel was the tremors. So I knew that this was somebody who really had deep, deep troubles. And that's probably one of the most vivid memories that I have.
So eventually you make it back to the U.S. And we have this compensation issue. I mean, you both went to Iran to serve your country, and yet 42 years later, your country's promise to you remains only partially filled. I've read that former hostages and their families have received only about a quarter of what was intended. To you personally, why is this important? Surely it's not all about the money. Maybe Kate, to you first.
This has always been very difficult for me because I came home in really very good shape from that experience. I always say, due to Iowa pragmatism, my dad always said, well, if you can't change it, how can you modify it? What can you do? How can you manage it? And my faith. And I didn't expect compensation. But once it became an issue, it was very important to me to support all of our group for this compensation. I think it's just the waiting and knowing it was promised to us and that all of these years later, even after the legislation, what did someone say? It's been 6 years. We're still waiting. That's very difficult. You're correct. The dollars, I'm fine. I've been blessed to be able to use my dollars for other people.
Yep. And Barry, let me put that question to you and also ask you, how you received the news when you learned that this pot of money was going to be opened up to many other people.
I have no qualms about opening up the fund for others, especially victims of 9/11.
Right.
I do feel very strongly that we have been ill-treated by our own government, the same government that has trying, as it says, to release the four American hostages held in Iran under horrendous circumstances, perhaps even worse than the circumstances we went through. I think it is important. It's a signal that our government really cares about us. And I feel our government does not really care about us. It's been too long. 34 years after we were held hostage, struggling against the U.S. government in order to get compensation. Remember, we were not permitted by the Algiers Accord to sue Iran in the courts as others have been able to. So this was legislated through 34 years of hard trouble, agony. We're pulling teeth with our own government. So I really contend that our government has not really cared enough about the hostage issue.
And very quickly, what specifically are you asking the government to do? I've read the Biden administration's position is it says it can't just fix this with a stroke of a pen. Barry?
Yes, it can. The president of the United States is the executor of this compensation fund, and it's designated by the attorney general, Merrick Garland. The president can, in one fell swoop, tell Merrick Garland, open this up, tell Treasury to fund us and get it over with. We are the longest held hostages in American history, and the compensation should be given to us here and now. Many of us are more elderly than I am. I'm going on 78. So what is the United States government waiting for all of us to die?
And briefly, Kate?
I second what Barry had to say. It's let's just get it done. We've been living with this since 1979. And I'm older than Barry. I'm 83. And I would love to be able to use this money in a supportive way to a whole lot of other people that would promote, I would hope, international understanding. You know, that sounds like pie in the sky and Miss America, and I was never that. But just finish it, please. It's been a long time.
That's Kate Kobe and Barry Rosen, two of the 52 Americans held hostage at the U.S. Embassy in Iran from November 4th, 1979 to January 20, 1981, 444 days. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.